Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, we know that as we come before you today to study your word, we need your help. Lord, we humbly come before you today and we say, teach us, Lord. Teach us to love your word. And we thank you, Father, that your word brings a life today to those who are here, those who are listening. Lord, we just thank you for the word that you have given to us. Lord, bless us as we study together in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday morning, Apostle Leon shared one point, and he said, fall in love with the word. How many of you heard apostles say that last week? Fall in love with the word. And as we were on Zoom call this week, and I asked our prayers, what was it that stood out to you? A sister Joyce, she said, it was when he said, love the word. And so this morning we're going to build on that point that Apostle Leon spoke on fall in love with the word of God. Psalm 119:97 says this. Let's read it together. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. The apostle or the psalmist was saying, I love the word of God so much. It's what I think about. It's what I reflect on all day long. Let's read the next passage. Psalm 119:114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. The Lord is our hiding place. He's our covering. He's our protection. We come into the secret place. And every day when I get up in the morning and I pray, I say, Lord, I step into Jesus Christ this morning. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. I step into Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the gate. We step into Christ this morning as we go before him to study his word. The scripture says we live, we move, we have our being within him. He's our covering. He's our hiding place. The word hiding in the Hebrew means the secret place. He's that secret place that we can run to when things are turning upside down around us. We can run into the Lord. It's good to just step right into him in the morning and acknowledge, Lord, I need you. And I need your word to be my shield. My hope is in you. My hope is in your word. We're going to take a look this morning at a passage in 2 Timothy as we take a look at falling in love with the word of God. The second epistle of Timothy was written by Paul, and Paul was in Rome, and he was a prisoner, and he was in danger of his life. And this is the last epistle that Paul wrote. And it isn't clear where Timothy was when he was writing to him. And Paul was not relating to Timothy as an evangelist, but he was relating to him and speaking to him about his personal conduct and his behavior in this epistle. So in this chapter, we're going to go to chapter 3. The Apostle Paul warns Timothy what the last days would be like, and he gives him a list of reasons of why it will be perilous times. And on August 9th, we studied this passage. The title of that message is Stability in Changing Times. And if you haven't listened to it, you can go on our website and you can still listen to that message, or you can also probably still see it on the YouTube channel. But it's an important chapter because it outlines what it will look like in the end times. And this is the setting of the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. And as we look at this word this morning, we're going to exegete this passage. When you exegete a passage, the passage tells you what the Word of God is saying. When you eisegete a passage, you say what the Word of God is saying or what you think it is saying. But we're going to let the Word of God speak this morning. Because as we learn to love the Word of God, we must let the Word of God speak to us. So often we picked up the Bible to read the Bible, and we want to read things into it, or we want to make it say what we want it to say. And you know, you can pull any passage, any scripture out and make a doctrine out of it. And it's important to look at the context. What is the Holy Spirit doing in this passage? Who is he talking to? What is he talking about? And what is the message that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us this morning? So I'm just going to share a little bit from 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, which are not on the PowerPoint this morning. But the scripture starts out and says, he's talking to Timothy. This is the setting for this. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Perilous gives the idea of reducing strength. Difficult, dangerous, furious, fierce, grievous times, hard to bear times. He's getting his attention because he's letting him know these times are coming. And at that time, there was a lot going on in that culture. And so Timothy was facing perilous times. We're facing perilous times. We know the scripture says that evil will get worse and worse, that the darkness will become greater and greater. But our light will shine. In the midst of all the darkness, we become lighter. The church becomes brighter. The message that we have becomes more important. It is very noticeable. We can't blend in any longer with the world, church. There's a dividing line that God has divided. Who's on the Lord's side? If you want to be popular, then you're not probably going to be on the Lord's side. Because what is in the Word of God and what God is teaching is not real popular with the world. And even within denominations, I was reading this week, Barna just did another study on different precepts in the scripture that we have firmly stood upon, foundations of the scripture we have firmly stood upon as Christians, and surveyed Catholics, Protestants, Evangelicals, and Pentecostals, and the amount of people who no longer believe they're relevant is shocking. The percentages are climbing of people who even believe that the Word of God is relevant today in our culture. And that is because of secularism. And so the enemy is trying to steal from us something that is so precious. And that is the truth that we find in the Bible. And so Paul was talking to Timothy about these perilous times. There were lots of false teachers in that time. And there were people, he said, that were self-centered. They were selfish. They were hard-hearted. And they caused perilous times. He gives a whole list of 18 moral, ethical flaws that were our sins that were in the culture. And as he finished up the list, he said, they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but deny its power. And, Timothy, From such people, turn away. Separate yourself. The Greek word means to avoid, to deflect. Turn away from those who profess to have a form of godliness but deny the power of God because they do not want to obey the whole counsel of God. So in 2 Timothy, we're going to pick it up where the scripture is on our PowerPoint this morning. And the first time through this, we're going to all read it together. And then I'm going to break it down. So let's read it together. But as you continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so on the next slide, I'm breaking it down by sentences and subjects that we're going to take a look at. There's six things. Number one, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed. The second point, knowing from whom you learned it and how. From childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The fourth point, all scripture is breathed out by God. And the fifth point, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Number six, that the man of God may be complete, equipped, for every good work. And now we're going to break it down a little bit further. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, the first point, Paul said to Timothy, but as for you, continue. Keep going, Timothy. Don't stop now. Continue on in what you have learned and firmly believed. Timothy had learned and believed the sacred writings. Point number two. Apostle Paul reminded him, knowing from whom you learned it and how. 2 Timothy 1:5 makes this clear who he learned it from. He learned it from his mom and his grandmother. And so Paul is telling Timothy, you know who you learned this from. You know the integrity of these women who taught you. You know their faithfulness in the Lord. You know that they love you, Timothy. Don't turn away from them to false teachings, to false doctrines. Follow what you have learned. It's the Holy Scripture. It's the Word of God. Stay the course, Timothy. There's a lot of temptations. There's a lot of temptations today, church. We can get pulled off here, pulled off there. This prophet has a new word. This prophet has another teaching. This person is saying this. This person is saying that. Well, let's line it up with the Word of God and let's see how it stands. I am concerned with the church and how it runs here and there and to and fro rather than applying themselves in the Word of God. I remember reading a story of a young minister who was asked to go and pray for an elderly man who was on his deathbed. And they didn't give him a lot of information about this man that was dying. And so the young minister just assumed that the family had wanted him to go pray for him because he needed salvation. And so he went to pray for him. And as he was praying for him, the man started to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, "It sounds to me like you're trying to get me saved." And the young man said, "Well, yes, I am." And the elderly man said, "Well, let me share with you what I know about Jesus." And he began to unpack the revelation and the understanding that he had with Jesus in the Word of God. And this young preacher, he's like, "I want that book. I want that book. Where did you learn all this stuff?" And the old man said, "I learn it on my knees, crying before the Lord, studying His Word, loving the Word, not letting the Word of God slip away from me, or wasting my time watching TV and doing other things. My diet has been, my nutrition has been the Word of God. And God has shown me these things." This is where we learn about Jesus. This is where we develop a relationship with Him. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So if we love the Lord, we will love His Word. Because He is the Word. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." And later on in the chapter it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the Word. If you love Him, keep His commandments. Timothy, you know the instructions you've received from your grandma, from your mom. You've watched them live the life. Why would you walk away and abandon them at this point in time? Sometimes we think we just get too big and too grown up for ourselves. You know, the way kids act in the natural is the same way people grow in the spiritual. They reach an age where they think they know it all. Have you ever raised children that think they know it all? We all go through that stage. I always say I should have been president when I was 18. Hallelujah. But Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Number three. Paul's talking to Timothy and he says, "From childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings." That's the holy writings. "Which are able to make you wise for salvation and faith in Christ Jesus." So this is the second reason why Paul is telling Timothy, you need to continue. The scripture gave Timothy wisdom that led him to faith in Christ Jesus, and he found salvation through the wisdom of the scriptures. The Word is alive. It's spirit, and it is life, and it is the only thing that can quicken our spirit. And the Word of God heals our soul And the Word of God cuts away what needs to be cut away. Because sometimes you've got to be cut. Right? We need things cut away from us so that we can continue to grow. It's like a sword. And it brings to us, it gives us the wisdom for salvation. Salvation is to be delivered from our sins. It means health. It means saving, to be rescued. We need a Savior. The Word of God brought Timothy to that revelation. You see, Timothy was a young man, probably when his mom and grandma started teaching him. The tradition was they would start teaching them at about 5 years old. They would begin to teach them the Torah, to memorize the Torah. And so he had this word that was in him. And then an evangelist came into town, and Timothy heard the gospel message, which was a message that Paul taught, and it quickened on the inside of him, and he said, I need this Jesus. So the Word of God makes you wise for salvation through your faith in Christ Jesus. It is the Word mixed with faith. Number four, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. The third reason to continue was that the Scripture, the sacred writings that he had learned and what Apostle Paul had taught him, they were alive. They had an amazing effect on his life. Has the Word of God had an effect on your life? The Word of God has changed me. Thank you, Lord. It's inspired by God. Every word in the Bible is inspired by God. So we need to know more than our favorite passages. We need to study beyond what is easy and what is our favorite. Somebody say amen. Because all of the Word of God is profitable, it's helpful, it's powerful. That word profitable comes from the root word that means to heap up or accumulate or benefit, to gain, to profit. The Word of God will always add to you. It brings value into your life. It does not subtract from you, but it gives value, profit to you. The profit you receive is how to live your life. It's the wisdom that you receive for practical living. If you're lacking common sense, you need the Word of God. Hallelujah. Some folks have common sense and some folks don't. But we know that the Word of God is profitable. It'll make you wise. So the breath of God breathed out, and the Scripture came from the Holy Spirit. And we're taught by the Spirit when we study the Word. If you wonder, how do I get taught by the Spirit? The Word of God is Spirit and it's life. and it teaches you. It's not in your PowerPoint, but you might jot down this passage, 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14 says this, "These things also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." This reminds me of my studies in biblical counseling and how the world sees biblical counseling as unimportant, not as good as, less than the therapies they use today. And I was involved in a court situation with a couple that was going through a divorce. And the lawyer basically said to me that I was not qualified to help anyone with a marriage, relationship, or divorce. And of course, you can't talk back, right? In the courtroom. But I'm thinking, my God designed marriage. My God created the marriage covenant. My God created man and created woman. It was my God that brought them together, and he has the perfect plan and design and counsel and wisdom to help people in their marriage relationships. But you see, this lawyer, the Word of God, the Bible, it was irrelevant and it was foolishness to him. Because he has no spiritual discernment. So we are to love the Word of God. And we're to be like the Bereans. The Bereans are talked about in Acts chapter 17. They would go home and study what the Apostle Paul was teaching. This is what we should do. This is what we were taught growing up. Our pastors would always challenge us. Take home what we're teaching you. Study it. Study it. See if it's so. Don't believe everything that people tell you. I'm telling you, there are people talking on the internet, people on TV. It sounds really convincing. But it is perverted and twisted and defiled. But it sounds really good. And people who have tickling ears, they'll grab that and begin to run with it. And then you see you're hooked in. It hooks you. It baits you. It sounds really good. But is it from God? Does it line up with the rest of the Word of God? Or is it a false doctrine that was taught years ago? I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but many times these things recycle in the body of Christ. And bishop will say, oh, that was taught back in 1865, or that was taught, he's a historian. They're bringing that back. Oh my goodness, that, you know, you got to know these things. Otherwise, you'll get hooked in. Fifth point, the Word of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Teaching is a broad category. Teaching, We have teachers who love the Word. Teaching the Word of God. There's lots of subjects you could teach on, right, Elder Jim? Lots of directions you can take in teaching. So when you read this, it's for teaching. It's teaching. Well, what does teaching do? That's what the list is about. It brings reproof. Teaching the Word of God brings reproof. Because we need to know when we're going in the wrong direction. It reproves us. And then it corrects us. We need to be corrected and turned around so we can be equipped for every good work. So if you have had a prophetic word, or you hear speakers talking about there's a turnaround coming, then plan on getting reproved and having some correction come into your life. Because if you have a turnaround coming in your life, then obviously you've been heading in the wrong direction. We get all excited about these prophetic words. But there is a much deeper meaning to them when you get in the middle of, oh, God, I didn't know that's what it meant. But we need teaching. Teaching from the holy book. From the holy word of God. To reprove us, to correct us. And it's for training. We need to be pointed in the right direction and trained in the ways of righteousness. Love the scripture. It's a lamp to your feet. It's a light to your path. And it is the change agent in our lives. Number six, the man of God. All of this is happening so that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the Word of God equips us for good work, and it's the works of faith. Men and women of God, heads of households, husbands, single moms, if you're a head of a household, single women, single men, you're the head of your household. You need the Word of God. It equips us for practical living. So the question would be, are you in the Word, and is your household being directed with the Word of God? Are you serving in the capacity of head of your household? There's a responsibility for that, that God wants to help us with. His Word will help us. Remember, it makes us complete, and it equips us for every good work. So we need to fall in love with the Word. Fall in love with the Word. That we desire it more than we desire anything else. The church has moved away. Christians are busy. There is an overwhelming oppression, heaviness that the enemy has brought on us. Remember, he's the God of this world. There are things happening because he has a spirit of authority in this world. The scripture says he's the prince and the power of the air. Now, do we have authority over that in our lives? Absolutely. But we have to recognize it. So many times we don't recognize it and we give into it, or we come under the weight of it. We come into agreement with it and it just moves right into our house, moves right into us, into this temple. So be aware. Be aware. The Word of God is here to equip us. We will accomplish the good works that God has already planned for us. The only way we won't is if we give in and we don't continue. Continue, Timothy. There's a lot coming against you at this time. False teachers, selfish, self-centered, lovers of pleasure, people who don't care about anybody but themselves, but they'll sell you a lie just to get your money so they can do what they want to do. Let's be wise. Scripture will make you wise. You'll know there's something not right about this story. And you won't come into agreement with it. Lord, help us. We're going to go on to the last part of this because we're going to look at this one more way quickly. And number one is at the bottom of the list. The overall theme is that the Bible is inspired. It is breathed out by God. The breath of God. Every word is the breath of God. It has life. Coming up the list, number two, it has the ability to teach us. And that teaching produces faith in Christ. And this happens when we receive our reproof and our correction. Let's come on up to three. Faith in Christ equips us for every good work. It gets us pointed in the right direction so that we'll be trained in righteousness. We need training. That independent spirit will not survive in the kingdom of God. We need training. We need to submit. We need to say, "Yes, Lord." Number four, good works flow from faith. That gives us salvation. We do not earn salvation, but the evidence that we are saved is good works. You know, people say they know Jesus, they say they're saved, but they don't act saved. The evidence that you are saved is your good works. Faith without works is dead. Our works don't save us. But when we're saved, we have good works. Number five, salvation. The scripture makes us wise for salvation. In Ephesians 2:8, the scripture says we have been saved. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says we are being saved. And in Romans 10:9, it says you will be saved. So the Word of God, the Holy Bible, gives us wisdom to be saved. It nourishes our soul. We need nourishment. When you go a week without reading the Bible, where is your nourishment? You would not think of going a week without eating a meal. A little further down, I think it's in the next chapter of Timothy, Paul says bodily exercise profits a little. But the word of God, it profits. It is profitable. It is the most important thing. Some of you might relate to this. You commit yourself, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to eat nutritious food. I'm going to nourish my body. I'm going to treat myself good. And you do that a day or two. And then you're back to eating what you're hungry for, which really gets you into trouble. All right, we're a little slow this morning, but it sure gets you into trouble. What am I hungry for? Instead of what is nutritious for me and is going to nourish my body and continue to nourish me. And you see, this is how often we treat the Word of God. Well, read it here, read it there, not really get a good meal. And our spiritual man becomes weak. We need a steady, nutritious diet. We need spiritual nutrition every day. So be like the Bereans. Study the Word. And number six is the covering of this whole thing. Paul was telling Timothy, continue. Stay in the Scripture. Love the Word. Because it will have an amazing effect upon your life, and it is the power of salvation. It's what we need. This is the only place in the Bible that the phrase God breathed is used to describe the Word of God. It reminds us that God's Word is full of grace and truth, and that His love can be found in His Word that guides us in all aspects of our life. To know the love of God is to know God's Word. And this is why we need to fall in love with the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this teaching today, Lord. We thank You that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank You that You do not change. But You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That if we will take in Your Word, it will stabilize us. It will strengthen us. Lord, help us. Lord, we can't do it without You. We depend upon You to give us the desire. We ask this morning, give us the desire to study Your Word. I pray for every person that heads a household here today. Lord, that they will put the time aside to be with You, to read Your Word, to study Your Word. Lord, and if there's others in their household, Lord, that they will feed them the Word of God, that everyone will be nourished, that our spiritual life will be nourished in this time. Oh, God, we need You. We need You to stabilize us in these changing times, oh, God. We need Your Word, oh, Lord. Your Word, we hope in Your Word. We hope in Your Word, Lord. Your Word is eternal. I thank You, Lord, that heaven and earth will pass away, but Your Word will stand forever. Love the Word. Love the Word. Tell your neighbor, love the Word. And let the Word of God speak to you.